occasionally clever, and moderately intelligent. Can Hardly Wait also contains too many cheap laughs, recycled plotting, and flat characters. To which I say, nobody read the reviews! The reviews have gone bad!
I think that I would like occasionally clever and moderately intelligent to be on my tombstone.
I thought you were going to say the tagline for the show, but on the tombstone's much better.
Yeah. Here lies Chris Mangan. Occasionally clever and moderately intelligent. You know, it's not giving myself too much credit. It's fine. It basically sums me up. It's not as good as last week's. He's an asshole, but he's a really nice guy. But, you know, here we are.
Oh, God, man, that beer looks really good. Chris was like, what are we drinking tonight?
And it tastes really good, too. If anyone's listening from the Alternate Ending Brewing Company in Aberdeen, New Jersey, thanks. You're my neighborhood brewery, and I really appreciate all the movie-based beers you have. Yeah. Alternate Ending is based in an old movie theater. So
it is. It is. And I've been there a few times. I love it.
You have. We've shared beers in there.
Yeah. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We are here to talk about.
Tell us, Chris.
We're here to review the 1998 high school coming of age comedy, Can't Hardly Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. So. Speaking of movie theaters, I saw this at the United Artists on Victory Boulevard on Staten Island, New York, which is now, I think, an LA Fitness, I want to say.
I think the LA Fitness closed now, too. But
oh, did it really?
That was its next iteration, and then, yeah, I don't know what it is now. But
yeah. Well, then there was the bowling alley showplace.
Showplace still exists. It's still an active bowling alley.
Yeah.
And a Wendy's.
The Wendy's used to be a little place called Millard Fillmore's.
Yeah. Named after our president.
A very shitty little chainy kind of restaurant and a little sports bar action. But I went there. I was in eighth grade. I went there with my girlfriend at the time. And
good for you having a girlfriend in the eighth
we
grade.
We only made out once. And then we just talked online for like 2 months.
Ooh, some good AIM sessions.
Yeah. And she met me there, and we didn't have a movie that we were going to go into, and she wanted to go into that, but it was already halfway through. And we ended up going into a movie called Have Plenty instead, and I chickened out in making out with her again.
What a fool.
And then she dumped me.
Probably because you were a chicken shit.
Yeah. I got her like a pair of earrings from TJ Maxx for like 17 bucks, which to a fucking eighth grader.
For eighth grader, that's a lot of money. That's all the money.
That's my entire paper out over just, yeah. And apparently she found the tag and was like, he bought earrings for me at TJ Maxx. She was a real asshole.
Sounds that way. Yeah. Sounds like you're better off.
Yeah, I was. So what's your relationship with this film?
I didn't see it in the movies. I'm not even totally sure, and this is going to be probably embarrassing, if I've seen it all the way through before this. I've seen it like in passing clips here and there, you know, kind of on in the background sometimes. Jamie loves it, and she was mad that she was out of town for my viewing of it. But I knew of it. Like, obviously, like, knew some quotes and stuff, but like, I didn't really have a strong relationship with it prior to Monday evening.
Okay. And what do you think?
Well, let's not spoil the fucking ending, huh?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like we usually start the show like, hey, this was okay. This was, you know.
It provided some laughs. It provided some, like, just good, like, nostalgia of the era. It hits a lot of things just really spot on. Like, considering we were not exactly that age at that point in time, but not far off. Like, we were entering high school, and these kids were leaving high school. So, like, it's really, like, we were in a pretty good spot for it. It calls upon a lot of things from our youth.
Our youth, indeed. And the late 90s, I think... The obsession with getting high school boys laid in the late 90s was, like, I think one of the bigger motifs in comedy.
I'll tell you why. Because high school boys in the 90s were obsessed with getting fucking laid. This concept wasn't conceived out of nowhere. Right. It was born in teenage boys' pants.
Well, I mean, this movie's 25 fucking years old. I feel old. I really do. I feel old.
I felt old watching it.
I was like, oh man, this is a fucking lifetime ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like there's a full 25 years of mistakes and just there's a whole adult that has happened in this lifespan.
You're calling yourself an adult, huh?
Sort of. I have my own place, man.
You do. It's coming together.
I could stay out as late as I want, okay?
You can. There's no curfew in the Russell apartment.
Yeah. This is speaking of adults though, this is actually one of those movies that like kind of that consistently across the board, the actors look like they're in high school.
Yes.
And there's not like a rando, there might be one or two here and there, but there's not like a mix of like actors who are like 30 who are trying to pass as high school students. Like, I feel like you have to do one or the other. Like in Scream, those are clearly like late 20 somethings playing high school students, and they're all like that. So it's consistent. Then you get like something like this, and they all look like kids. And I just feel like that's the way to go.
I agree.
But there are some cases where like Euphoria kind of has this sometimes where it's like that actor looks like they're 30 and they're making out with somebody who looks like they're 14.
Yeah, that show scares me. I can't watch that show.
No, I got through the first season and I was like, I can't do this. Yeah. So you see how much high school content has evolved since this film, huh?
But
would you like a question for Mangan or trivia?
Let's start with trivia today. I feel like we've been doing questions first, so let's do the old switcheroo here.
Okay.
Let's go trivia.
Okay. So there are characters in the movie called Crying Drunk Girl. This is actually a really funny concept, and I wish we had seen this. She's so drunk that her speech is understandable, and everything is in subtitles. So, like, every time she talks, like, you just see subtitles what she's actually saying, which I thought was really funny.
Because I am so elderly that I watch almost everything with subtitles.
That's true, yeah.
So, I probably didn't pick up on it due to the fact that I'm well-aged.
Yeah, okay. So, maybe that doesn't age well. But and then there's a second character called Stone Girl, who is just so high that, like, every time they cut to her, she's doing something completely nonsensical. And you can actually see her in passing when William goes to get his first beer. She's the girl staring at the banana.
Yeah.
She's just like, yeah. So there was supposed to be so much more of that and the drunk girl, but that got them an R rating because they didn't want kids to be that fucked up on screen, even though Mike Dexter and William get fucking ossified.
I mean, some of the character names, like just off of that, are so good. Like,
yeah,
Crypto Kid, Ready Web Kid, Reminiscent Guy, Gossipy Girl, Ready to Have Sex Girl, Ready to Have Sex as a Friend, and so on and so forth. There's more. I'm not gonna read the whole IMDb page, but
yeah,
the very literal character titles is really good.
It is good. It must have been real fun casting this movie.
Yeah,
yeah. So, James Marsden. Considered for the role of Mike Dexter.
Oh, I would have preferred that.
I like Peter Facinelli. I think he's good. I think he's good for this. But
he was a good piece of shit.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, well, I'm not going to step on that. Okay. So Ethan Embry, a.k.a. Nick Papagiorgio, which...
Mr. Papagiorgio!
That's the last time I call him Ethan Embry. So Nick Papagiorgio was apparently like a really, really, really bad stoner. To the point where he just like didn't remember filming this movie. He, you know, only like read his scenes. Like he sounded like a fucking dick. So Jennifer Love Hewitt, when they're supposed to kiss at the end, she brought a teddy bear full of breath mints for him. And he says that everyone on set knew that he spent most of his time smoking weed in his trailer, and she didn't really want to kiss him. As he described himself as a skunk scented chimney.
Ugh,
yeah. So he had to like crush a bunch of like Breathman's per Jennifer Love Hewitt's request to do that kissing scene. So there's actually like a moment where she wanted. Yeah. Well, so that, like when they kiss at the end, you kind of see her have this like little flinch. And I thought it was like, oh, cool. Sparks hit. You know, she's thunderstruck. She's in love, but it might have been that his breath was bad.
Fantastic. Feels fantastic.
Alicia Witt, Reese Witherspoon, and Christina Ricci were all considered for the role of Denise. Do you know who Alicia Witt is?
I do, but I'm blanking.
Fucking D-girl.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Excuse me, I am a vice president, you motherfucker. Charlie Korsmos, first credit since
Run Hook. Home Jack.
And his last ever. He went to like MIT and became
the genius.
A genius, yeah, pretty much.
So a rocket scientist instead of drinking beers.
Yeah. Would you like your question for Mangan?
I am ready for my question now, thank you.
You went to an all-boys Catholic high school.
I did.
How did you hang out with girls?
Not well.
Okay, that concludes our question for Frank.
It started with friends of mine had girlfriends. And they had friends, and so we hung out socially. Yeah, that's basically it.
Like the Spice Girl song.
Yeah, I had to get with their friends.
Okay, cool. All right, that's it. That's all I wanted to know.
All right, great. I have a question for you.
Oh,
where is this?
Oh, that's a good question. It screams like Jersey only because he's taking a train to Boston.
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out. There are parts of it that feel like Cali to me, but Mike is going to Ithaca, and right. I don't think a person in the state of California has ever gone to Ithaca College.
Right.
Due respect to the Cortica Jug. I don't think that's the case. So it has to be East Coast somewhere.
Right.
So yeah, I guess somewhere either in New England or like the Mid-Atlantic region, it makes the most sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was like Central Jersey,
like which now officially exists.
Yeah, it did it not exist ever?
There was a raging debate in the state of New Jersey whether it was just North and South and if Central ever existed. And the governor, like 2 weeks ago, like officially signed like an act, like recognizing Central Jersey.
Jesus. But even like when Seth Green chases down Lauren Ambrose in that little thing, that looks like a Northern Jersey town. Diner. Right. That looks like Ridgewood or one of those little town Ridgewood squares.
Ridgewood is where my rehearsal dinner was. You were there.
Was I?
You were at my wedding.
Oh. I had a lot of wine that night.
Probably.
I committed to red wine the whole night, and
Grimace
face was on charge.
The star of my rehearsal dinner was Jamie's cousin Daniel, who wore a Florida State embroidered button-down shirt as he went to Florida State University. And inevitably, when college football season comes up, we reminisce some of the guys and me about that, because he also wore the same shirt again to the wedding the next night. Back to back and belly to belly with a Florida State Seminole embroidered button down shirt to a black tie fucking wedding.
Fuck yeah. You know what I remember? You know what a weird little detail I remember about that weekend? We were before the rehearsal dinner, we met in the lobby bar downstairs.
Uh huh. We did. Yes, that's correct.
And I was with our buddy Steve DeCherico, and we were watching a football game, and I saw a running back fucking blaze a trail. And I turned to Steve because he went to the school that this kid was playing for. And I went, holy shit, who the fuck is that?
Saquon Barkley.
And Steve looks at me. He's like, that's Saquon Barkley. He's a fucking animal.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know. He'd be part Little of my life. You know. Part of my life for a very long time.
You knew nothing, Jon Snow.
Yep. All right. Yeah. All right. Guy who's on the roof of the house with stats.
Yeah, that's me up there. So the whole scroll of stats. Can't hardly wait. Rotten Tomato score 40%. Just sneaking us in under the wire here. Audience score 63%. It was released June 12th, 1998, which is perfect timing for a college, for a high school graduation party. Right around the time of, you know, people getting their diplomas and tassels and all that shit. Opening box of just over $8 million. In a rare turn of events, it was not number one that week. Number one was The Truman Show.
Ugh, great
which,
movie.
Which grossed a little over $20 million in its second week. Other box office notables. 6 Days, Seven Nights. That's Harrison Ford and Hayes, right?
Yeah, probably on the list.
A Perfect Murder. Murder. Number four is this movie. Three is Godzilla, featuring the five. Greatest cover of all time. Sorry, five is Godzilla. It was week three. My eyes are crossed. Featuring the greatest cover of all time. Come With Me.
Uh-huh.
By Puff Daddy. Yeah.
Fucking bite you. I don't like you. I'll fucking bite you. Can't stand nobody like you. You can't run. You can't hide. Come to me.
No surprises. Sorry. Close your eyes. Come with me.
Oh, my bad.
Hope
I'll fucking bite you.
Deep Impact. The Horse Whisperer. I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh, yeah. Titanic in its eighth week. Jesus already passed Christ. Already passed the $500 million mark.
No, it was in its 26th week, dude.
Oh, last week it was eight. It was eight. Oh my yeah. God, I can't read a fucking thing.
Jesus.
My God. No one drink the beer. The beer has made me unable to read. And I only include number 11 here because of Ghetto Superstar, Bullworth, at 11.
Yeah.
The production budget, an even $10 million per my research, returned a nice $25.6 million on that. So, good work, guys.
Yeah.
You know, when you're just paying teenagers to do this stuff, it works out, especially in that time. Like, you just crank these out.
Pop-up question for Mangan.
Pop-up question.
What does this movie cost due to inflation for all the movie stars that are in this now? Like, paying Jason Segel?
$120 million? I don't know.
Exactly. The value of these young fucking stars just is unbelievable.
Yeah.
What a casting job. Holy shit.
Absolutely. All right. So we'll do some stars. There's going to be a stars section, another section that we've talked about, and then cameos. So the stars, we've got Jennifer Love Hewitt, Ethan Embry, Charlie Cosmo, Peter Facinelli. Then we'll just do the 6 feet under section, which is Lauren Ambrose, Eric Balfour, Freddie Rodriguez. Did I miss?
And Peter Facinelli. Oh, was one of Claire's art school friends.
Oh, damn it. Well, I screwed up my cute little attempt at a second category. But, well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, I love that.
Question
that
for Chris. Why don't you get something fucking right tonight?
Yeah, seriously. But the Eric Balfour, I had such an awe because he's the guy who licks the brownie off of Lauren Ambrose's face. Uh-huh. Yep. And that's Claire's first love.
It is.
One. That's...
It is. He smokes.
Really fucking sad fate. Oh my God.
What's that called? What's he smoke?
Crack? No, that was David.
It's a blunt mixed with formaldehyde, and there's a term for it that I can't remember.
Stupid.
Damn it. I'll look it up in a minute. Our cameos: Melissa Joan Hart, Jamie Presley, Jason Segel, Selma Blair, Breckin Meyer, Jerry O'Connell. And probably like 15 more people, but that's as far as I got.
That's good. I was trying to look it up. Smoking Wet?
No. Fry.
Fry. Oh, I would have gotten that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was an ecstasy kid. That's what I was doing.
I know.
Doing
yeah. Chris loves to roll.
Yeah. That's what, that was my GM.
Call him Fred Durst. My boy was always rolling.
Yeah. Speaking of, I just got to point it out. Lauren Ambrose, one of my Hall of Fame crushes, talent crush. I just love her. Claire Fisher, great. One of my favorite characters ever. And back in action in this season of Yellow Jackets, she was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I haven't watched Yellow Jackets yet, but it's definitely on a list somewhere. Like it looks really good. There was like an 8 week phase of something we were watching on Showtime where they would run the like a promo beforehand for Yellow Jackets. And Jamie would go, what is this? This looks good. And just keep like having like a Groundhog Day moment every week whenever we would watch whatever. I think Your Honor it was before. And she'd be like, oh man, this looks good. We should watch this. And yeah. Then it just became like a running joke where we would just say it before before the show.
I endorse it. I endorse it. It's a really good show.
All right. It's got the
it gets a little wacky sometimes, but it's
the mule stamp of approval.
The mule boom doom. All right. all right. Well, is that the end? Yes.
As this movie takes place in one day with a little bit the next morning.
24 hours.
If you had 24 hours to live, what would you do?
Who would you screw? I'm fucking right on the late 90s. The late 90s hip hop songs. I'm fucking
or Chris,
in there.
Perhaps would your ass deny that your ass about to die?
I don't know.
All right.
Who was that? Who sang that song?
It's Puff.
Cameron?
No, it's Puff, the Lox, Mace.
Yeah.
And probably African American Rob.
Who was it on the family? What the fuck was it?
No, it was on Mace. It was on Harlem World.
Oh, okay.
Man, I hope I got that right, because if I didn't, I'm going to get fucking roasted.
Yeah. All right. Well,
back to our original question. So, Chris, as this movie takes place in 24 hours, it got us wondering, what are the top five movies to take place in one day? I'm not sure that mine is the top five as much as it's my five favorites. I've kind of been going on this route, and by giving that little disclaimer, it hopefully spares me some people texting me, bro, I can't believe you forgot this movie. But yeah. It won't. They'll still text me that. So thanks, guys.
I kind of did the same thing. I omitted some ones that probably would have ended up here anyway, but I feel like we talk about those movies so much it felt redundant, so I wanted to get some new blood. Yeah. So my honorable mentions is also fucking loaded.
Loaded.
Yeah. You want to go first?
Sure. My number five, Michael Mann, Jamie Foxx, Tom Cruise, Collateral.
On my honorables.
Fucking love this movie.
It's been a very long time for me.
It's been like a little bit on cable lately, on like the pay cable stations, and I stop every time. I don't care where it is. I don't care what point it's at. I eat this fucking movie up.
Mm-hmm.
I also just love like Kill Everyone movies, like Man on Fire and like The Equalizer and things like that. Like and this is just a heightened version of it. Like it's just a good movie. In addition to being a murderous spree. So yeah, I love it. That's my five, and I can't believe it's only five, but it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was in the five for me for a bit, and then I got knocked out, unfortunately.
All right.
My number five, a little movie called Clerks.
All right.
Yeah. One day, literally one day.
Mm-hmm.
I revisited it recently, and it holds. I mean, some stuff obviously does not age well, but just as a fucking young aspiring writer, filmmaker, like knowing that Kevin Smith like just maxed out a bunch of credit cards and made this movie for $26,000 and was able to make a lifetime, a 30 something year career out of it, I think is pretty amazing. So
it is. It's very impressive.
Yeah.
Number four for me, A Young Man Who Takes the Afternoon Off of High School.
That's my one.
Wow, that is not what I would have guessed for your one.
Yeah, it's my number one.
I swore I had your one right. All right, so we'll get to your one when we get to your one then.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We'll save Ferris. How about that?
We'll save. That was good. That was a good one. My number four. Another first-time movie from a legendary filmmaker. A little flick called Reservoir Dogs.
Ooh.
We get some flashbacks. We get some flashbacks, yeah, but the action happens.
I agree with you. No argument here. That's another movie that stops you in my tracks if I'm flipping around. Like I won't even go to like the rest of HBO or whatever. Like if I'm flipping and I see that, I'm like, that the search is over. It's stopped. Let's go.
100%. And you know, I mean, there's always the I guess like movie people who don't know a lot about theater who think that that's good, that's like a great like play. And I don't know why I just framed it that way. That sounded kind of dickish. I think it would be an awesome play, but
it sounded dickish.
No. But like someone's like, why won't they? Or The Breakfast Club, you know? Like
I want to see Aaron Sorkin's Reservoir Dogs on Broadway.
I would see that in a second. I retract that statement. That was terrible. That was not a
smug
good thing.
Chris is here this evening,
smug
guys.
Chris is definitely here.
He's not on strike from being a smug prick.
Okay, what do you got?
I was trying to think of a segue into it. I'm just gonna say Training Day. I was trying to think of a quote, and then I can't do a good Denzel, and then I was gonna do the guys playing cards. And then I just thought me doing that accent wouldn't really age well for me. So no. I'm just going to say Training Day.
Did I tell you this? I was at a bar a few weeks ago and they were playing that on the TV with subtitles, but like with bar music on. So I was completely fixated on it.
Wow.
And they got to the shit pushed in scene.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just sitting there fucking. Yeah.
The veins in that man's neck are unmatched in cinema.
And I think they like parenthetically they put like straining as he said it.
He's straining, all right. He's straining big time.
Get pushed in. Yeah, that was on my honorable mentions too. Like sometimes like I just like movies that I know for sure that you're gonna pick, I put them in my honorables just so we could just talk about more movies.
That's an excellent strategy.
Yeah. All right, my number three. We might disagree that this movie is one thing, but we cannot disagree that this movie does take place in one day, and Die that Hard. Is a little movie called Die Hard. Yes,
it's my two, so it's perfect timing.
Okay,
actually,
good.
Your three into my two is actually perfect timing here.
Okay, good.
Just do it now? It takes place in one. Well, it takes place in one day in the famed Nakatomi Plaza, world renowned Nakatomi Plaza. My Instagram feed has been getting peppered with this one like advent calendar that's just Hans falling one day at a time down the building until Christmas. takes place on just a nice Christmas Eve.
There's Christmas, there's people banging and at the party, you know,
who wouldn't get coked up and banging at an 80s Christmas party?
That's true.
If you were at a Christmas party in the 80s and not doing that, I would fire you.
Yeah. And then there's terrorists. That's it. You know, it's just like, and then you got Bruce in the vents. Although does he fit in that vent really?
Yeah. He's not huge. He's not really like, he's an action hero, but he's not an overly like physically imposing guy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what made him so different and likable in this.
And every man.
Mm-hmm. If you will. All right. So your two. Wait.
That was my two. So now we're on your two.
I know you haven't seen this, and I've been pestering you to see this for a very long time. It was the where I went all in on my Bob Pattinson stock. It's a little movie called Good Time.
I have seen this.
You have?
I watched it. I definitely texted you about it. I watched it early COVID when
You did? Oh, I don't remember that at all.
I saw it after Uncut Gems, but you were raving about it, and it came on Netflix like right after that. Probably like with the wave of the popularity they got from doing Uncut Gems. But yeah, I loved it.
Oh, it's fucking
awesome.
Incredible. It's incredible. It's one of the most anxiety inducing. Thank you. Yeah, Chris is doing like a little victory
I'm doing a
dance.
Happy dance because you didn't do the movie I thought you were gonna do, and I can't wait to bust your motherfucking balls.
Okay. Well, I guess we're cutting it short. My love for
keep going.
No, it's okay.
I'm having a good time over here.
It also gave us the Safdie brothers and Benny Safdie, who is really slowly becoming like a really fucking fantastic like A-lister, sort of A-lister supporting actor.
He's an Oppenheimer, from what I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. And he was in Paul Thomas Anderson's last movie. I think he might be in Killers of the Flower Moon. I might be wrong on that, but he's like everywhere.
Yeah.
But
he's really good in this. Pattinson's awesome in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad I got to it. So yeah.
Yeah.
Good suggestion about you, pal.
Yeah. All right. So my number one, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So you knew that. So what did you think I was going to pick?
Well, Chris, it's been sunny here lately. In most days, it's a sunny day in Los Angeles. And yet, untouched on the top five is a movie that ran up our credit card bills in Two Gold Street. Renting this movie time and time again, choosing not to purchase it, just renting and renting and renting until finally we bought it on my Amazon Prime account, where it rests reserved for when you come over and want to fall asleep on my couch. And Chris keeps walking away from the camera. Man, this is one frustrated co-host tonight. I'd be frustrated too if I didn't pick my favorite movie as one of the top five, but you know, that's just me. Chris, your thoughts?
I'm so sorry.
He's holding the speed DVD,
I'm so
apologizing.
sorry.
Jack Travis.
Keanu, Sandra, Jan de Bont, Jeff Daniels, Joe Morton, everybody. I'm beside myself. I'm really busted up about this. I
Dark
feel
times
like
have fallen on the 40 podcast.
I beg for your forgiveness. I beg for your forgiveness. I'm ashamed. I'm disgusted with myself. I just.
All of my mental blunders in the first 20 minutes of this podcast have been wiped away.
I'm beside myself. All
Yeah.
right. Well, what's your number one?
Superbad.
That was on my honorable mention because
Because we talk about
we
it
talked
every
about it
we talk
2 weeks
about it every
ago.
week. Yeah. It might as well be
God.
The Departed.
Yeah, exactly. All right. All right. Do you want to talk about it,
I already
or
tell
we've
the
already
story about
done
how
it?
I saw
Yeah.
Superbad with our friends again and loved it and
Yeah.
changed my life and all that stuff, but it still did and I love it.
Yeah.
Um,
Yeah.
and it belongs here, so.
So my honorables are Dog Day Afternoon, Do the Right Thing, Superbad, and The Breakfast Club.
Fine
Yeah.
choices.
Yeah. But there's not coming back from this. I feel like
Yeah,
I.
my only honorable mention was Speed.
Oh man, that's just,
Down goes Russell.
I mean, really, really just what a disaster. Okay. Fuck. All right,
We're gonna take a lengthy break here so Chris can compose himself and really recover from this
back
haymaker
after
I got
this.
him with.
Yeah.
Insert
Okay.
welcome back segue here. Cans.
I can't even quote the movie. I'm that upset. There's no babies, just cans. Cans.
Shoot the co-host.
Ugh. Speaking of things that make me just want to die, William's plot is really disturbing.
It's the first thing on my list too. The nerd's plan. It sucks. And it's also not even that bad.
Well, I mean, obviously, it does not age well. It shouldn't have happened anyway. Like to, I guess, is chloroforming someone, drugging them? Yeah, it is, right? You're
Oh, it
knocking them out.
absolutely is.
Yeah. So you're drugging someone, making them do things and stripping them naked and all of that. That is fucking
I guess
disturbing.
that is pretty bad. Yeah, like it is. And his friends just go along with it.
I put this in my notes too. It's very sad to see that William doesn't realize that he is the Mike Dexter of his own little world. Those two other
Oh,
nerds, they fucking worship him.
he's Nerd Dexter.
Right? And you know what?
Wow.
He's got some toxicity. He's got
Great
some
album.
yeah. Yeah, good album. You dick. Just Seth Green and his boys, just all of it, everything.
The
Just
whole
it's just
the whole shtick sucks.
it's awful.
Although it is era appropriate. Like there were groups of people
Yes.
in our elementary school, in our high school, who dressed like that and talked with different accents,
Yes.
that just didn't work then, It doesn't work now watching it back 25 years later. Yeah, it's very, very cringy. Like, it fits so well in this category. As does his love kit.
Oh boy.
Just a backpack full of sex accessories and the like. It's a lot just to even have it organized that way, to have spent all that money on stuff as a virgin.
And just, speaking of which, he chooses that time to learn how to have sex.
Yeah.
Like taking out a book and learning how to hump and
oh, I mean, that's later on. I'm talking just like when he shows them in the 7-Eleven or like the whatever like convenience store they're in. Like he unzips the thing and he's like so proud of like all the shit he has with him and like, bro.
Yeah, dude. No bueno.
And I say this as someone who at that age was no good at getting any sex from any willing participants. And I can't even imagine, like, as far as it went, it was like, oh, let me put a condom in my pocket and hope like the night might go fucking magically awesome for me. And then I would come home with a condom in my pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
Unused and still wrapped.
Yeah, the condom that I had in my pocket through high school by the end of it looked like a fucking a long lost letter from the 1700s, just fucking tattered and fucking ripped and abused and probably no good.
Yeah, it's not.
It is, you know what I kept hearing every time he talked? Tell Sloan I said what up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when Nick Papagiorgio sits next to Amanda and like he's like trying to talk to her and then the fucking nostalgia kid comes over, there's two extras on that couch having the most aggressive makeout session I have ever fucking seen. And like, as an actor,
oh boy,
doing that all day could not have been, even if they were like in love and excited about it by, you know, like they just like saw each other and like, oh, I can't wait to make out with that person. They absolutely had to have been doing that for like 10 hours. To 12 straight hours.
Yeah.
That is exhausting.
You know how like raw their lips must have been?
Yeah. Yeah. That was not an enjoyable experience at all.
So much chapstick afterwards.
Oh my God.
So much. I know it's a high school party, but the guys sitting on the keg cannot pour a beer to save their motherfucking lives. It's like 80% foam. Chris, and yes, we've all had those moments. We've been to a keg party and like, you don't know, am I pumping too much? Am I pumping not enough? Is the tap above the keg? Is it below the keg? It's not pouring right, whatever. But like they were pouring that beer as if it was fucking like the perfect Guinness, like just firing those things out, like, here you go, here's a beer. And it's just cups of foam.
Ugh. And who's bankrolling this? Is it the girl's house it is?
Yeah.
I mean, I just, if you were
accurate, maybe she delegated that.
Yeah, but I remember if you're going to do it right, or on Staten Island at least, like you go to a keg party, you pay $5 or $10 for a solo
$5
cup.
For a cup.
And if you lose that shit, or someone steps on it, you're fucking, you're assed out.
Nope.
You ain't getting another one.
No.
So, I don't have a whole lot of cringeworthy stuff outside of the big sweeping things. I'm just going to put this out there. I might get some heat for it, but I don't really care. Jennifer Love Hewitt is beautiful. Mm-hmm. No disputing that. She is.
I can't wait to see where this goes.
She is a bombshell, whatever you want to call her.
Mm-hmm.
The character of Amanda, I challenge you to give me one other redeeming quality about her.
There's not. There's no backstory. Like, she had a Pop-Tart.
She had a Pop-Tart, and she's hot.
Yeah.
What message does that send?
Not the greatest one. Not the greatest one.
I'm glad you didn't fight me on this. And also, she has no future plans. She has no ambition. She's just not even going to college. She's just kind of like, yeah, I had a Pop-Tart and I dated a jock and I'm pretty, and that's why this guy is so in love with this. It's kind of ridiculous. Like, give us some talent, something, some ambition that she's like, and she doesn't even say like, nobody knows me for I like to do blah blah blah, or like, they don't even show us that. They don't know. We don't know what's in the letter.
She does at least sort of start to like realize that her like worth was tied to this idiot for 4 years, like halfway through the party. But yeah, they give no backstory to her. There's no, you know, nothing. I'm good at this. I did that. I do, you know, I'm a good person. None of that. It's just, she's just the hottest girl of the era, which mm-hmm. is great. It'll get you some places in life, but yeah.
Yep.
So there's her. We covered the Seth Green and his boys, how bad that is. Mike Dexter sucks. He's yeah. just a classic, just piece of shit high school boyfriend. And I'm gonna be honest, Preston is fucking creepy.
Yeah. He is.
Like, her reaction to him towards the end, before she connects the dots that he's the letter writer, is right.
Yes.
Like, she's like, so what? You created this whole fucking moment in your head one time 4 years ago and thought this and thought that, and a letter saves that? Like, no, the letter's even more creepy, dude. He's been carrying this letter for fucking 1,300 days.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
It's a hard out for Jennifer Love Hewitt, no matter what. Like, it's mm-hmm. just, you know, it's...
Just get out of town. Go somewhere else. Start over.
Yeah, you gotta go. You gotta go. It's 1998. Internet's not really here yet. Just fucking disappear while you can.
Just go run a guy over with your friends and fucking hide it.
Yeah. So... I'm kind of all the way at like the end of the party now. So if you have anything before that,
I don't. I have the post sex awkwardness between Seth Green and Lauren Ambrose. But it's cringy in a very accurate way. Like, losing your virginity and even any sort of like sex around like that time of your life is awkward as fuck. So like, it's right. It doesn't make it doesn't make it like less uncomfortable to watch. So like, it's a good thing. Like, it's one of these good cringy things, right? It's spot on.
Yeah, but him
sex
kind
on the bathroom floor with your long lost friend, and it got super weird afterwards. And yeah, that's
him reverting back to that ridiculous accent, the voice after the right sex afterwards. Was just, like, holy fuck, it made my skin crawl. Yeah.
I want to like put his head like on the toilet seat and just start slamming the the toilet on his head. I'm like, you fucking dummy, don't do this. She just slept with you.
Like Kill Bill to the pussy wagon guy.
Yeah. Oh God. Fuck. I'm bucking here to fuck.
Yeah. So when Mike Dexter has his like speech to Amanda in front of the crowd, and she leaves and he's there,
and they all lob the F word at him.
So that's bad. So for those of you who don't know, he's standing around, there's a beat, and then you hear a girl in the crowd, an anonymous girl, scream a one syllable F word that is a derogatory term. And everybody laughs.
It's not fuck, guys. It's not fuck.
It's not fuck. And he's screaming, I'll kick everyone's ass in this room, all that stuff. I caught this movie on cable one time, and we're headed towards that moment. And I'm like, what are they going to do here? How are they going to play this? So he finishes his monologue and the girl goes, jerk.
Like, that works much better.
But it does. But the really funny thing was when later on, he's like, everybody, hey, my friends ditched me and someone in there called me a jerk.
Yeah, that's where the replacement gets.
It doesn't hold as much water.
Correct.
I don't think.
Correct. The defense does not hold water. But yeah, I mean, we talk about it all the time, like, you know, can the movie be remade? And like, we debate the you know, how many of these have, you know, slurs or whatever else. And I'm like, yeah, just replace it. Just call them someone else. Like, and yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, if we set this on Staten Island at the same time, you're throwing a herb out there. Like, it's, I mean, that is a hanging slider herb
that
moment.
But also probably the word they used.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Not the most feeling
no.
forward society.
No. And then another bad word, just the dumb
is
white
kids. Is it
the
N-word, Chris?
Yeah. Just, nah. Don't need it.
Hey, white kids.
Don't need that
don't
moment.
Don't say the N-word.
Yeah, just don't.
Here's a PSA from your friends here at the 40 under 40. It's not good. Still do it.
Not a good thing. Not a good thing. So at the end, when we get Mike Dexter's like fall from grace via like the subtitle.
Mm-hmm.
So the incriminating photos came back to haunt him at the car wash, but the incriminating photos didn't hit the fucking Harvard like tech CEO guy.
I guess not.
I don't know. In the age of
I don't know, he made $40 million.
He probably could have had a fixer take care of that.
Well, you know, you do with $40 million, you just go retire somewhere.
That's true. He's currently dating a supermodel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Yeah. What else? I got one more thing.
I'm done.
Oh no, the breath. I already said that. The breath. Sorry. Yeah, that's it for me too.
All right.
Let's redeem me.
All right. So there's some good stuff.
A lot of good stuff.
We will take a moment here, and we're remiss that it's taken us an hour to get to this point. But as the movie features multiple songs from the band Smash Mouth, including in the opening scene. R.I.P. to Steve Harwell.
Yep. Yeah.
A bunch of songs that got through this era that were very popular and very recognizable. You hear just a couple chords of a Smash Mouth song and you know what fucking time it is.
Can't get enough of you, baby.
It's a very recognizable chin strap and voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the least surprising things I saw this week related to him was that he was boys with Guy Fieri.
Those are pretty interchangeable men, yeah.
If two guys were just born to be amigos, it's the mayor of Flavortown and the lead singer of Smash Mouth.
Oh, God. Do you know that in Bridesmaids, Melissa McCarthy's wardrobe was meant to mirror Guy Fieri? Like, every scene that she's... Like, all the fedoras and the button-down shirt, like the Tony Soprano button-down shirts and stuff. Like...
That's fantastic.
Yeah. The chatter over the opening credits and the one guy going, my gown smells like blue cheese.
the chatter is great, all like the gossip and like the passing back and forth. I'm gonna do like a bookend of the start and the end here.
Sure.
The snapshots of everyone at the beginning of like their hobbies, their, you know, extracurriculars, like basically like their yearbook photo and their stuff. I love all that. Like it very much like tells you these are the important people in the movie. Pay attention to like these four or five. And then like the full circle at the end with the recaps of like what happens to them. I like that.
I love it too.
It's a good setup and a good closing the loop on it. And I'm a fan of that style.
We've talked about this before. I do have mixed feelings about like movies that like do the this is where they end up at the end when it's fictional. But I think in a high school movie, it works. A
high school movie is very appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah. Just piggybacking on that, Denise's yearbook quote. Did you catch that? A true friend stabs you in the front.
That's great. What was the question for Chris? What was your yearbook quote?
I don't think we had them.
Really?
Yeah, Michael J. Petriti school stinks.
All right.
If I did, looking back, I don't know. What was yours?
You would have done a vitamin C lyric.
So tonight, so I lie. Are you the now or never kind? Remember that song?
It sounds familiar.
All right. Anyway.
Mine for really no good reason, and it's not even funny. Was Ralph Wiggum. What's a battle? Don't know why.
That's random. I don't think I've ever heard you like reference The Simpsons before.
Yeah, I really just think it was because I had a really bad relationship with my AP US history teacher.
And I somehow think it was related to that. We'll get into that in therapy 1 week, I guess.
Oh, I love it. Okay. So I'm the serendipity, fate, all that stuff, synchronicity, if you will. I'm a firm believer in it, however stupid. I think like that. I really do. Like I find my, even though we just talked about how creepy it was, the whole Pop-Tart thing, the whole, if I didn't drop my book, I wouldn't have done this. And I do find myself falling into that line of thinking sometimes, especially like romantically. Okay. So I won't stalk someone for 4 years for fucking, I absolutely, look behind me. I got the Everything Everywhere All at Once poster behind me. Of course I do.
There you go.
Yeah. What else you got?
I like the roped off fancy room in the house.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like very like time appropriate. Like, I don't know a lot of people like our age now who have like no touch rooms, but I feel like everyone our age growing up then, like their parents had like a no touch room. Like, don't go in there. Did you throw any parties in high school?
No, I threw one party when I was like 19.
Okay. I don't know if I've told this or not.
Might have, but there's like 85, like 83 or 84 episodes that if somebody remembers this party verbatim, then then they're a little too obsessed with us.
So I threw one party in high school. My senior year, the night before Mother's Day.
Oh, Jesus.
My parents went to get my sister from Boston University to drive her back home. So, house to myself, in the clear. So we're 17. And
wait, were they coming back that night, or were they?
No, they were coming back on Mother's Day.
Okay, so they're coming back the next day. They were staying there. So, okay,
right. Yeah, staying overnight Saturday, come back Sunday. Up and down to Boston is possible in one day, but it's not ideal.
No.
So one party, and I threw a fucking banger. Except that, like, my anxiety, like my inherent anxiety, does not suit well for such a situation. I was like, mm-hmm. "Let's have a party," and it's like, it's going really great. It's awesome. Like, buddies are there. Like, older friends are there. Like, things are going great, and I'm like nervous about the whole time. Like, what's happening? What's getting broken? What's not getting replaced? And my parents had like a weird collection of like snow globes in the house. And one of them got broken, and I like that's when I lost my shit. I'm like, fuck this. I'm like, you fucking people. I'm like, my dad's gonna know this one snow globe with the wolf inside of it was broken.
You got mangry.
I did. I got high school mangry. And our buddy Kevin, who is 2 years older than us and still the record holder for most beers in a one-way Staten Island ferry trip.
Oh, what was it? 4, 5?
6.
Jesus Christ.
Kevin he retired from drinking. Could drink beer faster than any human.
Wait, this is a back or just one Manhattan Staten Island?
One way.
Whoa.
Six beers.
You gotta funnel them. You gotta funnel them, right?
Nope.
No.
It's why he quit. He's like, we were going out and I was like, I'd just be at the bar as people were like finishing their first beer. I'm like going, like just fucking gassing beers. Absolute legend. And good for him, probably saved his life to quit drinking, but the stories we have of it, fucking killer. So the snow globe breaks and he looks me in the face and he gives me a little fucking talking to. He goes, "Listen, man, I'll poop on your snow globe and I'll throw it over the fence, all right? I don't give a shit about your snow globe."
Jesus.
And it kind of snapped me out of it. I'm like, "All right, man, this guy's gonna poop my snow globe. What am I gonna do? I guess I gotta let it go." Yeah.
So did you get in trouble?
No, got away with it. Wow. Spent the next morning launching beers off my front porch. We lived across from like just like like a kind of like marshy area that like just super overgrown reeds. Like you could never build a house on it. Like it's like just very like soft land.
Well, when someone has you put a body in the mash, you put it in the mash.
Not where some guy from John Hancock goes to get a fucking blowjob.
Don't laugh. This ain't reality TV.
It's a big fucking dog.
Okay, continue.
We had leftover beers, and like, not like today, we're gonna have a party. Like, leftover beers are awesome. Like, I just have more beer to drink later. But I couldn't leave like 60 Bud Lights in my fridge, so I just stood on my front porch, and there was a giant rock in the middle of the stuff, and just kept trying to hit it with Bud Light cans as much as I could. I couldn't feel my arm for a fucking week. Just, it's you know, I don't know, 100 feet across the street, I'm just launching these things. I'm like, I gotta get rid of these beers. I'm like, I can't leave them in the garbage. I can't leave them in a cycle can. I'm like, hey, what are all these beers doing here? I don't know, I just showed up. So yeah, that's my little aside here.
Yeah, that's a good one. I wasn't invited. Great
party. I didn't know you.
I know, joking.
You've been to every one of my parties like the last 15 years, but I didn't know you that.
Just the recurring thing of the Shermanator lurking around and stealing shit is just really funny.
Klepto Shermanator. Yeah. There's a universe where those two movies tie together somehow.
Yeah. I fucking love the two nerds on the roof. I just love everything. Everything that they say is just like, but William, you can get drunk. And then it's my favorite line in the movie. Are you kidding me? People might even be having sex tonight.
Yeah. Those guys are written very well.
Yeah, they're fantastic. The building up and the payoff of would you like to touch my penis. Yep. I am a sex machine.
Yeah, that guy's great. And the revenge that gets gotten on him later. I think I saw that fucking creepy foreign exchange student messing around over here.
I just think also, I don't think that aside from Seth Green, because it hadn't aged well, I mean, just because it's inappropriate, there isn't like a bad performance in this movie. There really isn't. The acting is fucking great.
There's not. Like I said, that's I think a lot of it is just like the fact that it is exactly like at that time for us. Like, I don't know how older or younger people, like if you go plus or minus like 5 years from us, I don't know how people would feel about this movie, but like we are target audience for this.
Yeah. The nostalgia kid's really great. The girl who throws the party is fucking,
yes,
throwing gas in every scene that she's in. Uh-huh. Like, the supporting actors in this are all fucking great.
It's a real ensemble movie. Like, everyone's got their role, and everyone just excels in it. The casting was great. A lot of the writing's really good. Yeah, and again, maybe I just look back on that time as like a fun time in our lives, but it connects with me in a really good way. The girl just buying is funny to me.
But I think that was the idea, like in the late 90s, of like what the feminist girl at school was.
Yeah,
you know, this, like, it was such a trope, it was such a stereotype. But that she that one scene, she just fucking knocks it out of the park. It's great. Also, parties look so much more fun without phones.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying it to someone recently. My buddy from college, I had lunch with yesterday. The age we were with the development of technology is among like the best timings ever.
Yeah.
Like, we had a little bit of cell phones, like we needed it, like in case shit went bad for us. We had it. We could kind of get in touch with people if it was an emergency. But there weren't camera phones back then. There's no bad pictures or videos of us from high school and college. Even like the Manasquan and Shore years, like,
mm-hmm,
a Facebook album afterwards of like us just like looking sideways drunk, which we were, but like, not like, just it timed out really, really fucking well for us to like not have that derail anything. And not that any of us ever did anything like that fucked up, but like, I don't know, we drank a lot.
I don't know. We did. Yeah, we sure did.
It was a good confluence of events.
Yeah, and unless you wanted to like beep someone and send them poop, P-O-O-P, like, you know, I sell shoes. That was another big one. Or like, I love you. Didn't do
boobless.
That. Boobs, not poop. It's boobs.
Boobs and boobless.
Boobless, yes. taking a shit in someone's fridge is really funny. And I love that. I don't think I ever caught this while watching it. When she goes, "What is that smell?" and she starts smelling shoes and on the carpet.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, "Oh, someone was definitely taking a dump on like a paper plate or something, and then putting it in the refrigerator." Yeah. Federico doing the mirrors thing.
Petty.
It's for the uninitiated 6 feet under people. It's Mike Dexter's friend with the sunglasses talking about having sex in her parents' bedroom with the mirrors on the ceiling, and him doing the demonstration of how he's gonna fuck while watching himself.
I may have at another party in high school. One of our friends has a bathroom, a half bathroom on the main floor. That is fully mirrored.
I know this bathroom.
I was throwing a Freedom Festival in the
I was there.
The Vision of Old School.
I was absolutely at that party.
2005, 2006, something like that.
Might have been the night I met you.
Could have been. And yeah, I did some things in that bathroom, and then people opened the door on me while I was doing the deed.
So we have a very funny
But the mirrors
friend.
Work, man. They really work.
So I remember there being a video. I might have been there. I don't know. I think someone filmed it and I watched it later on, but whatever the case was. A friend of ours, there was like a swan or a goose, I don't know if it was like a thing, like a table decoration or something like that, but it was a giant swan. And our friend was playing it like it was a guitar. And he ended up in the mirror bathroom and he looked around and he was like, "There's too many of me." I'm trying to like be subtle. I don't know why.
Yeah.
With who it was, but yeah. All right. So after that bomb, I'm gonna jump right into something fun. Oh boy. Just the Paradise City scene. I just love like when the nerd
thing on my list too.
When the nerd gets his moment, it's just amazing to me.
Gets his moment and fucking nails it. Just becomes the fucking star. People are all into him. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I'm very happy for him as someone who was a nerd in high school and probably still is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was a herb, if you will. So as creepy as it is that he's actually at that high school party, the Trip McNeely scene is fucking fantastic.
It is, and he's like, if I follow correctly, he's only a year out. He's only a freshman.
Right. Jerry O'Connell was like 35 when he filmed this scene.
Yeah, that's the one when you said that like everyone's the same age. Like the only one who's not is Trip, but Trip's in college at the time. So like you get a little bit of like, you know, creative license with that. But yeah, he was awesome. A perfect, like just like look into the future thing. And Jerry's still doing his thing, man.
Yeah.
Jerry was on Pardon My Take this week for a fantasy football preview. And he flew there from into Chicago with only a briefcase. With fantasy football notes and a pair of Yankees Louis Vuitton shorts.
Wow.
Just a brown old school leather briefcase with like the handles and stuff. He showed up to the interview with just this briefcase and that.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That makes me like him.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy more. That Jerry is still out there like in the world. Yeah.
I rewatched Stand By Me recently. And
that's one of our big movies, you and me.
Fantastic.
And Jamie.
Yeah. The Jason Segel cameo, his little part, but the
tremendous.
Which is really great, but the little detail of his friend holding a fucking stegosaurus the whole time and they don't address
fucked up, man. They're fucked up, man. They're fucked up. That guy is high as the day is long.
Yeah.
Guy's orbiting the moon somewhere, and Seagull's just crushing his watermelon. And like, then later on, like when the whole like everyone tries to get with Jennifer Love Hewitt scene, I'm just like, you want some watermelon?
So good. So good. And then the nostalgia kick coming over the this really sweet story. Remember the high school dance and blah blah blah.
I had the hugest boner.
I actually have a memory of watching that movie and my mom like passing by and like stopping to watch it, and she laughed out loud. She thought that was hysterical.
Yeah, because it was.
Yeah. William's line when he's trying to get Mike to go to the pool house, he's like, "There's the girls, they're triplets, and they want you to, there's two of them.
This is triplets.
They want you to watch them. They want you to watch them."
It's horrific.
Oh God.
Do you know who the cop is who lets him out of jail at the end?
He's a that guy, and I can't picture. I'm having a hard time placing him.
I gotta sit down.
Oh, I don't know.
Poppy from Seinfeld.
Oh, okay. I think I know him from something.
I gotta sit down. Pees in the cushion.
when Mike Dexter and William are bonding. And he's like, you know, Mike Dexter going like, "Remember when you had to make that really stupid speech and I tripped you?" And they're like, yeah. He forgives him. When was that? That was this morning at graduation. Yeah. The way Charlie, what's his name? Corsmo. The way he takes that line is great.
He's like the station manager in Private Parts, which is probably where you know him from.
Yes.
He's pig vomits like other guy.
Howard, did you say testicles on the air?
Fuck. I wish that movie was on there, but it's probably like 115%.
Yeah, it's like a 90-something. Trust me, I looked. The kid leaving his girlfriend sleeping when the cops come is really funny to me. And when the nerds jump off the garage to like tackle Mike Dexter, the one kid going, "Hi!" I got one more.
I'm done because my last one is the "what happened to each person" thing, but I covered that in the beginning.
Yeah, just the line: "Shouldn't you be at home playing with your computer?" Also, really great,
nerd,
Urkel.
Could this movie exist in 2023?
I feel like we touched on it. Yeah, but it wouldn't look like this.
It wouldn't. The technology angle is so much different. Like. Forget about the socially stuff that they age poorly, but like you can replace that. Like a script writing, sure. Like just be aware of life in today's day and age, and like write it differently. But the technology is different. Like
I think it's more Project X than anything.
I mean, yeah, they figured it out. That's the party in 2023.
Exactly. I think that's what it ultimately becomes.
Oh, honorable mention from our category Project X. We do, I think, have a nominee for Johnny Tech Smoker, and I did not include her in the cameos for this specific reason.
Yeah. So Jenna Elfman,
Dharma.
I'm gonna give her like she does the whole like "I'm having a rough night" fucking smoke pretty well. So I'm gonna.
She was having a rough night.
She was having a hell of a rough night. So, and plus, like, I really love her monologue. We didn't do it, but I think her monologue's great. I think she's just really great in this scene. So I'm giving her, looked like she was smoking Marlboro Lights. So I'm going to give her, 7.5 out of 10 Marlboro Lights here.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Delicious. There are no Razzie nominees.
Good.
Most giftable moment. Another scene I buried in my, I didn't include in my redeeming moments.
Mm-hmm.
"I can't feel my legs. I have no legs." Just if I've eaten too many drugs on the couch, I could just send you that. And that's where I am.
When you're in space. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people might even be having sex tonight. I said it in the redeeming, but I just Just think that's really funny. Yeah.
That is.
It's just the way he says it. Being sex tonight. All right. We down to the nominees?
We are.
I've got two nominees for MVP and only one nominee for LVP.
Okay.
Actually, three nominees for MVP. The soundtrack.
Soundtrack's mine.
Yeah. The casting.
Yeah.
And I think Charlie, why can't I remember his fucking name? Corsmo?
Charlie Corsmo.
I think he's fantastic in this.
Of everyone, but both acting and like the success of his character basically here.
Yeah, but so the soundtrack
if it's a person, it's him. If it's an inanimate thing, it's the soundtrack. It's so fucking 90s perfect. It's spot on.
And that fucking Busta Rhymes song too, that was like huge at the end of eighth grade. Like that was just blasting everywhere. Cool. Like the Knight Rider riff. Yeah, it's a good one. And for LVP, I've got Seth Green.
I've creepy dudes.
Creepy guys, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Guys with sex bags and old ass letters and
It's basically him, Mike and Preston. Just creepy ass dudes. There are three different versions that don't be that dude in this movie, and just don't be those dudes.
No.
If there are any high school age kids listening to this, don't be those dudes. Be a better dude.
Yeah. All right. Let's rank this fucker.
I had a hard time with this.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
82.
What? Okay.
It's like a B+.
I mine's an 80. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. I think it still makes me happy and nostalgic. I just got to dock like 20 points for some just not so savory things.
Some of that, like, and it's not. Yeah, it's more nostalgia based than like that. It's this is like so great, but like it clicks for us. Like I said, I think someone a little bit older than us is like, this movie's like a 60. But because we're right in the thick of it at that point in our lives, it works.
Yeah, and really like the whole nerd plot really fucking disturbed me. I was like, oh man, I forgot how like just fucked up that was.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think this movie is rated PG-13 nowadays. It's just like kids getting fucked up like that. Like
it's not R.
It's not. Well, not I don't R. know. I think it's. I think today you put this movie out there, it's an R. I think it's an R.
I disagree.
All the teens having sex stuff and
there's no nudity. There's no fuck. There's no.
Condoms, there's
God forbid the safe sex in a movie.
Lubricants.
God forbid people practice safe sex.
The red Trojans too. Who the fuck uses those? What a moron. All right. Well, what are we doing next week, Daddy O? Oh, look at that! I see a little. He's giving me a little. Give me a little. Hello, ladies. Look, what the fuck's going on here?
What starts this week, Chris?
I think I know what it is, and I was hoping you were going to do this.
Spike will play with girls.
Yes. Because if you didn't do it this week, I was going to get mad at you for it, and I was going to do it next week.
I was scrolling the list, and like we've done a really good job crossing off. And like right before this is like 20 in a row movies crossed off. Like we've done really well.
I mean,
it just popped out of me. I'm like,
There is nothing better.
Pequeño Gigantes. There's little giants for you gringos out there.
I cannot wait. I mean, they're playing the Cowboys too, which is fucking amazing.
I haven't seen this movie in 15 years, 20 years. I have no idea how long. I know how I feel about it in my head. I'm very interested to see how I feel about it this long afterwards. But man, Devin Sauer returns to the pod. Thank God, it's been too long.
Oh, I am very excited about this. All right. Well,
come over Sunday. We can get drunk and watch it after the game. No, that's too late. That's
after
too
the late. Game, that's... are you out of your fucking mind?
We're not watching it during the games.
He's really trying to get me to come over. Okay. So yeah, I'm really excited. This was fun. This is a lovely little tea party that we had. I'm very, very proud of you.
That's Kevin Smith callback. That's good.
Yeah, there you go. Together, naked. All right, that's it for me. Is that it for you?
Cut.
Bye.